This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Tomorrow, what's a city to do? Faced with red ink, some are choosing to cut library hours or close clinics for kids. What's happening in your town and how is it affecting your quality of life? Tough choices tomorrow on Talk of the Nation. Now we turn to a story of intense rivalries, high stakes, and low audience. Nine Democrats vying for the White House gathered Saturday night in South Carolina for a debate that began with introductions.
My name is Bob Graham. I come from the electable wing of the Democratic Party.
Thank you, Senator
Thank
Graham.
You, and God bless you.
The event was hosted by ABC's George Stephanopoulos, and if you were among those who saw it, give us a call. Who impressed you? Who didn't? Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. And if we limit the callers to those who see it, Ron Elving, NPR's Washington editor, we may not get too many calls.
Especially not if you're looking for people who saw it live. That's probably limited to the people in the studio audience.
It wasn't carried live on ABC. It was carried later on C-SPAN three times, I think, on Sunday.
On Sunday.
And the amount of people seeing this, I guess so far ahead of the election, but you were talking about earlier, it's not actually that far ahead.
No, not from the standpoint of the candidates, because they have to face real bullets, as it were, actual voters in primaries and caucuses in January.
So one of the things that came up during the course of the debate was that issue that we heard the Senator Graham refer to elliptically. That, of course, he was referring to Howard Dean, who normally introduces himself to audiences as representing the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party. But electability and appealing to the Democratic base in primaries, that's going to be a big issue.
They cut right to the chase there, didn't they? They immediately started talking about the difference between appealing to people who make the choice of the nominee, participants in the process of primaries and caucuses, people who are the hardcore, if you will, of the Democratic Party, on the one hand, and on the other hand, those people who are going to vote in the November 2004 election, most of whom will not be hardcore Democrats, and who will have to be persuaded to cross over and vote for any Democrat.
Was there a winner?
I think that probably many of them managed to help themselves. Just having all nine together on the stage at a moment like that, I think all of them helped themselves just by putting themselves forward as part of this field. If there was a clear winner, perhaps it was George Stephanopoulos, the moderator. He was the only fellow who got to stay on his feet throughout and sometimes made the others look a little bit as though they were trained animals there for him to entertain with. But I think each one of the candidates made an attempt to get one point across, and Bob Graham managed to introduce himself. He's a late addition to the field. He's had heart surgery. He's not been able to get in the running early, so that was good for him. I think John Kerry managed to show a little bit more humanity than is perhaps his image, managed to have a little sense of humor. And John Edwards got to show he was a little bit better prepared than he was perhaps at the beginning of his presidential quest. And Dick Ebhardt helped himself because he got to sit there and watch everybody else debate his ideas about health care.
Obviously, as you mentioned, Ron, presentation is a big element, and laugh lines are an important part of trying to draw attention, distinguish yourself among such a big field. And here are a few amusing moments that we have culled from the Saturday night debate.
I know I can beat George Bush. Why? Al Gore and I already did it.
Thank you,
and
Senator
with your
Lieberman.
Help, we'll do it again.
Thank you, Senator Lieberman.
Well, I'll also go join Senator Graham and Senator Edwards in appealing that we not be played against each other, if particularly in our first night. Republicans are watching. Let's not start fighting and going at each other.
Senator Kerry, the rap on you is that you're just too aloof, that you don't have the common touch it takes to win.
Well, probably I ought to just disappear and contemplate that by myself and...
Senator Joe Lieberman, the Reverend Al Sharpton, and, of course, John Kerry there at the end. And those kinds of situations, I guess people try to pick out those moments and make themselves look like human beings as well.
Enormously important that you establish some kind of a human connection. I think most people will agree that George W. Bush won in 2000 because he did so much better a job of that than Al Gore did.
Let's get the listeners involved. Our number again, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address, totn@npr.org. And Patricia joins us from Bettendorf, Iowa.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
I saw the debates this morning on C-SPAN, and what I really liked about it were two questions. Stephanopoulos asked Joe Lieberman, wasn't he too nice of a guy to run for president or to get elected? And I had had that question in my mind when I saw him at the Drake Diner in Des Moines. But I didn't ask it, you know. I mean, what would he say? You know, nice guys finish last.
Or maybe some cutting remark to prove that he wasn't a nice guy.
Well, which is what he said to Stephanopoulos. You know, you better watch out, I might just strangle you. But the other question that I thought was really insightful was John Edwards asked Bob Graham, he said, well, we're two Southern guys running for president. If we were elected, what special thing should we do as Southerners on the issue of civil rights? And Bob Graham said, we should put the Civil War behind us. And I thought that was the most insightful comment of the whole program.
Well, Ron Elving, I guess the last several Democrats to be elected president were from the South.
Jimmy Carter, LBJ, Bill Clinton. It is rather difficult to imagine how the Democrats are going to get back in the White House without winning at least one state in the South. And Al Gore, of course, lost them all. Had he won even a single one, he would be president today.
Some people still argue about Florida.
Yes, but unfortunately the electoral votes, which are what make the difference, were awarded, if you will, by the Supreme Court to the other candidate.
Patricia, who impressed you?
I thought Al Sharpton made a good point about dealing with violence in America, but right now I'm probably in the John Edwards camp.
And obviously Iowa, another early and important state.
Yeah, and we get to see them all.
Now, in person.
Yes.
Okay. Patricia, thanks very much for the phone call.
You're welcome.
Here's an email we got from April Lee Murray in St. Louis. I believe we should limit campaigns for only those 6 weeks prior to the election. Part of the reason for poor voter turnout is having to listen to this drivel for almost 2 years.
Voter burnout kills turnout.
I think so. Let's go to Josh, who's with us from Boise, Idaho.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling. I was least impressed, I think, with Senator Lieberman and his role in the debate. And I was unimpressed mostly because of his focus on his electability. At the top of this segment of the show, you were talking about the candidates focusing on electability and particularly Graham and Bob Graham's focus on electability being a representative for the wing of the electable wing of the Democratic Party. And I feel that Lieberman really has shifted toward the moderate position even more than he had during the last election. And I was particularly unimpressed that he hasn't taken a more liberal stance considering the direction our country has been going.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a question, Josh?
Yes, sir.
Why did you watch it?
Why did I watch the debate?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm interested in the candidates, and I've been mostly following Howard Dean. I went to school in Vermont and now live in the most Republican state in the union, I think.
Idaho, you're calling from.
Yes, in Idaho. And I'm interested to see, I haven't made up my mind, and I'm really interested to see who I would like to support in the Democratic Party, which is kind of a first for me. Usually I will make up my mind before watching the debates.
You're looking for a contrast with George W. Bush.
I'm looking for a contrast to George W. Bush. That's exactly right.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for the call, Josh.
Sure thing.
That electability issue that he mentioned that came up in terms of Senator Graham and what he was talking about with Senator Lieberman, this was involved in the discussion of the war, which was a major element of disagreement among the candidates.
I think one of the reasons that some people liked Joe Lieberman's performance in the debate, and others perhaps such as this caller were put off by it, was that he made no bones right from the beginning about saying, look, you can't be elected president of this country if you are perceived as weak on defense or if you're seen as being weak in defending democracy against terrorism, against the forces arrayed against us in the world. I wouldn't be like that. That's not a difference between me and George W. Bush. Let's talk about the areas where we disagree. Some people liked that. Other Democrats did not.
We're talking about the first presidential debate. 9 Democrats in South Carolina over the weekend with NPR's Washington editor Ron Elving on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And now let's go to Max, who's on the line in Columbia, South Carolina.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Well, I wasn't really sure if you had any specific questions for me, but I was one of the fortunate ones who got to attend the debate. I really had a great time, learned a lot about the candidates. went in there already pretty impressed with Dean and Kerry, from what I had heard and already seen them say throughout the weekend. Left pretty much with a new respect for John Edwards, and even thought Al Sharpton added a lot to the debate, a little.
Did you have a sense, sir, of who the people in the room might have been most impressed with? I know that they were restrained in their applause.
Right. Well, there was the people. You could really tell who they were supporting because even Kucinich, who no one had pretty much even heard of, and he even said that likely no one had heard of him prior to the debate.
This is Congressman Dennis Kucinich of Ohio, yes.
Right, Congressman Kucinich. He even had his entourage clapping every time he spoke. It was really difficult, like you just said, to gauge who they were impressed with because no one could clap. But I would say that it was very well received from the people that I spoke with afterwards. People were just very confident for this election after what they saw. Like I just mentioned to the woman I was speaking with earlier, I really wasn't happy with what Stephanopoulos did in the beginning, starting off with a question that this began with an attack, which saw that bout between Kerry and Dean. I thought it really made everyone look bad and sort of set a tone that wasn't very impressive, and I would imagine that people at home might have even turned off their TVs if they were watching it.
This is the sniping between the Dean and Kerry camps over whether Governor Dean is fit to be commander-in-chief.
Exactly, yeah. Which, from what I saw, seemed that both of their information was slightly unfactual. I thought Senator Lieberman was very effective in getting them back on track and saying, look, you know, we're not here to fight each other. We're here to beat George Bush. John Edwards as well said, you know, I think both of you would be better presidents than George Bush. You know, let's get to the issues. I think that it would have been far more effective if they had started out with a question that was, say, what are the three most important issues affecting Americans today, affecting them domestically, and, say, in the world.
I think the place to apply for that job is abc.com.
Right.
Okay. Max, thanks very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's go now to Steve, and Steve's on the line from Santa Monica, California.
Hello.
Hi.
I was wondering, basically, I've been a lifelong Democrat, and I was wondering, why are there nine candidates, even at this point, in you know, the election process? It seems like the Democrats are watering down their chances, you know, extremely.
Ron Elving, did they do any make any progress in winnowing down a race of nine Democrats into well, at least if not eliminating anybody, separating themselves into serious and maybe not so serious candidates?
Well, not in terms of the debate. In terms of the debate, everyone got their licks in. Everyone got a chance to make an equal presentation at the end. No winnowing was done. However, of course, this process is not an equal ground. It's not an even footing. And in terms of fundraising, in terms of the ability to generate attention, be taken seriously across the board in many different states, really there are tiers in this field. I would say you have the senators, essentially Graham, Lieberman, Kerry, and Edwards to a lesser degree, presumed to be serious candidates in it for the long haul. Dick Gephardt, because he's been the House Democratic leader he's run before, and maybe Howard Dean. We're still trying to decide whether or not he's got something to run on, especially now that his big issue, the war, is receding in importance just a bit.
Steve, if you could narrow it down, how many do you think would be a reasonable number?
Well, really, I think, you know, three, four, at five at the most at this point, because obviously there's a clear Republican candidate, and it seems like to me that amongst my friends that are Democrats, is that they just don't know who to vote for. There's really, you know, I mean, I know they're trying to separate themselves, but it just seems like too many people, too much information.
I agree. I think that it is too many, but it's really not anyone's job, particularly not in the Democratic Party, which likes to be pride itself on having an open door, to say you can or you can't run. But the voters will get a chance to do that, and very early, because as we were saying earlier, the primaries and caucuses are going to start earlier than ever before. And by the end of January, February, believe me, this field will have been winnowed. Maybe two, maybe three candidates left.
Steve, right. Thanks very much.
All right, thank you.
Okay. And Ron Elving, we appreciate your time as always.
My pleasure.
NPR's Washington editor, Ron Elving, here with us in Studio 3A. Here are some of the stories that NPR is following today. A new municipal council was elected today in the northern Iraq, and Guy Raz reports from the city of Mosul, and at least 32 people have been killed in Kansas, Missouri, and Tennessee after tornadoes cut through the country. Pierce City, Missouri was especially hard hit, and in Kansas, a freight train was blown off its tracks. NPR's Greg Allen will have that story. You can hear both those reports later today on NPR's All Things Considered. As always, you can stay tuned to NPR stations for the latest. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.